Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you. I want to welcome all my brothers and all my sisters tonight, wherever you may be it in Waiava, Alava, OCCC, WCCC, FDC, Saguaro, Arizona maybe, or anywhere else. Maybe you're just sitting at the kitchen table at home. I wanted to thank you for tuning in tonight. The Free Inside Ministry is the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Honolulu. We have a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the incarcerated, the broken, and the lost, and to preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to the incarcerated in all of the facilities on Oahu. We also minister to our brothers in Saguaro, Arizona, and we'll be heading there very shortly. Mahalo to all of those of you who have joined us this evening. Tonight's message is, have you come to your senses? How many of you out there have kids? Anybody besides me? We all have kids. Shoot, this is Hawaii. We have our kids. We have our Hanai kids. We get kids who just want to come over and eat at your house at night. We always have kids. But, you know, I think God let us have kids so that we could learn more about stress and how to learn more about lots of stress, if you know what I'm talking about. Nah, I'm only joking. But, you know, kids, they come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. And no two kids are the same. In fact, so many times, you know, we do stuff when we're kids that we think is right. You know, I mean, we know everything at the age of, let's see, 18. Yeah, at 18, it's our coming out party. That's when we know all the answers to the world. But, you know, what happens then is, you know, remember when you're growing up, we thought that we knew everything and that our parents didn't know anything, that they just didn't know. They was too old-fashioned. We knew everything, but how can you? Someone once told me that there are three stages in a man's life. The first stage is, oh, my dad, he can pound your dad. My dad is awesome. He stays so strong, bro. He can lick Superman. The second stage is, oh, dad, you don't know. Come on, dad, you just don't know. That was the old days. That's history already. Everything's different now. It's all modern. It's all high tech. Dad, you just don't understand. Okay, just I got this, dad. Don't worry. You just don't know. The third stage in a man's life is, my father used to say. Funny, yeah? I read that in a Reader's Digest, 1974, and I can still remember that to this day. But, you know, growing up is funny. It's sometimes we end up in the wrong place. Sometimes we end up in trouble. Sometimes life goes upside down on us, and we just get lost. And we get bummed out because life isn't going the way we planned it. It's just not happening. It's not how we had designed or we thought of it would end up. And we know that our plan's not working out. And then bam, just like a 2x4 cracking us on the side of our head, we wake up. And sometimes we need some serious cracks. But for my beloved, if you're sitting on the edge of your bed tonight, sitting there in your cell, no matter where you may be, you know what I'm talking about. You look in that mirror, you ask yourself, what am I doing here? What am I doing here in Halava? What am I doing here in OCCC? What am I doing here in the Federal Detention Center? Why am I in WCCC? Why am I in Saguaro? What am I doing here? We all go through a point in life where we ask ourselves, what are we doing there? In the Bible, in the book of Luke, which is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a story I wanted to share with you tonight that might help you understand a few things. It might give you a better perspective on maybe where you're at, on a story that was in the Bible that Jesus actually told. It's in Luke chapter 15, and it's verse 11 to about 32. I'm going to be using the Jesus book tonight, if you will, the Pigeon Bible. Has a little something, something. And We're going to start right off in verse 11. Jesus went tell, had one guy to get two boys, eh? The younger boy went to tell his father, Papa, give me my share from all you get. So the father went go split all he get and give the boys their share. After that, the younger boy went get all his stuffs, sell his share and take the money and go one far place. And over there he spent them all, because he no stay in charge of himself. Then, after he spent all his money, he get hard time over there. No more food in the whole place. And the boy, he no more nothing. Then, the boy went go buy one guy from the country, and the guy went send him out into the fields for feed the pigs. Man, the boy, he stayed so hungry, he like eat the pods all the pigs was eating, and never have nobody to give him nothing. Then, he wise up and think, hey, how come? All the guys that work for my father for pay, they get more plenty food than they can eat. Me, I'm so hungry over here that I pretty much go market pretty soon. But better I go back with my father. Then I tell him, Papa, I wouldn't do bad thing against God in the sky and against you. I'm not good enough to be your boy. Let me work for you for pay. So then, bye-bye, I pay you back. Then he would leave the place and go to his father. He's still far from the house when his father went go spark him. His father's heart filled with pity and he go run. He go hug his boy and kiss him. The boy tell him, Papa, I went do bad things against God in the sky and against you. I'm not good enough to be your boy, but the father went tell his worker guys, come quick, hurry up, get over here. Go get one robe, the best one, and hey, put him on top of him. And get one ring, put him on his finger. I like shoes on his feet. And go get the bestest young cow and we go kill him. We're going to make one party tonight. We're going to eat. We're going to dance. We're going to sing. Because this is my boy. This is my boy. Just like he went market, but now he come back alive. Because he was lost, but now we find him. And then they were going to make one party. The older boy stay working inside the fields. Then he come near the house. And he hear all the music with all the hula going on. So he go ask one of the kids, hey, what's the haps? The kid say, hey, your brother. Even go come back home, and your father went tell all the worker guys for kill the bestest young cow, because your father went take him in, and everything stay okay now. The older brother, he even come real hoo-hoo. You know, like go inside the house, you all have boot. So the father guy go outside and beg him for come inside, and he tell his father, look here, I went work for you just like one slave. Whole plenty years, I never go anything, nothing against you all that time. I do everything you tell me for do. What you ain't give me, huh? You never even give me one goat for make party with my friends. But this guy, your boy. Yeah, he will need up all the money for your land for pay the kind wahinis that fool around for money. And when he come home, right then and there, you kill the bestest young cow for him. Right then. But the father tell him, my boy, you every time stay here with me and everything I get is yours too. But hey, good, we go make one party and dance and sing and feel good inside. Because just like this guy, your brother, he went go market. But now he come back alive because he was lost, but now we go find him. This is such a great story. And there's so many sub-stories going on that we could really spend the next four nights on the prodigal son. How many of you out there have a younger brother or a younger sister or an older brother? Or an older sister. You know how it is if you're the older one and the younger one gets in trouble. Who gets cracks if the younger one gets in trouble? That's right, the older one. Because they're responsible for them. I don't know, did anybody ever fight with their younger brother and sister? I can hear you guys saying, no, Brother Bula, we were perfect children when we were growing up. Yeah, right. We all went scrap with our brothers and sisters. But you see, the greater thing about this story, it's a story about the father's love. But you see, because you got to start from the beginning. When the son goes to the father and asks for his inheritance, the father gives him his share. No more, no less, but he gives him his share. Now, normally, when can you get an inheritance? Usually someone has to die. I mean, that's usually the case. The inheritance, you inherit it upon death. But you see, no one has physically died here. But the young boy, he was greedy. The young boy, he was antsy. He was jonesing to be in the world. He wanted to get away from it all. He wanted to get away from his family. He wanted to go cut loose and buckle loose. Anyone ever feel like that growing up? Get away. Just get out. Get away from my family. I live my life. I want to do it my way. I want to do it my way. But you see, his father was such a good father. His father was such a generous father. His father was such a loving father, a gracious father, because he gave the boy what he asked for. He didn't have to. Really, he didn't. But he did. And he did that out of love. Now, I don't know if I would do that, to be honest with you. I mean, to me, I probably want to lick my son for being so greedy. You know, it's like saying, hey, you like going to make like that? Just go make like that, but you don't get nothing from me. Go have fun. Go do what you want, but you ain't getting nothing from me. I mean, really, what we're looking at right here is a pretty spoiled child, a little brat of a son, who is only looking out for himself and no one else. He wants to do what he wants, how he wants, and when he wants. But let's take a look at what really happens here in the story. After that, the younger boy went get all his stuffs, sell his share, and take the money and go on far place. And over there, he spent them all because, you know, stay in charge of himself. Then after he spent all his money, he get hard time over there. No more food in the whole place. And the boy, he no more nothing. Now let's take a look at that from the New King James Version. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know, I was reading that, and it says, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So it's like, ooh, what does prodigal living mean? I know there's a story about the prodigal son, but I wasn't too good on prodigal living. So, like the good Kamehameha graduate I am, I looked it up in the dictionary. What is the definition of prodigal? Because it says, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So I looked it up, prodigal, and it says, one, characterized by profuse or wasteful expenditures or very lavish. Two, recklessly spendthrift. And three, yielding abundantly. What a picture that paints. Maybe I can paraphrase that into something that we might more easily understand. Maybe we can take a better look at it so that everybody would be able to understand what we're trying to look at right here. You know, so to say that he wasted his possessions with prodigal living, or if we go up to the other part, and over there he spent them all because he don't stay in charge of himself. That means he doesn't buckle loose. Let me paraphrase that. He wanted to party like a rock star. Wanted to holler for my dollar. He wanted to be who the man, I the man, I the man with the plan. You know how that is sometimes, prodigal living. You know, I don't know if there's ever been a situation where you've been able to go out and go to a establishment, be it a bar, a restaurant, or a club, and once they smell you get cash on you, you get plenty of friends that coming around. But you got to see that God has a sense of humor through all of this. And I always tell my beloved that are in prison, God has a sense of humor because he made me. And everyone in the chapel or the room will continue and begin and continue to laugh. And once the laughter dies down, then I have an opportunity to say, and he made you. And that's when I get to laugh with them, at them. But you see, God has a sense of humor because, you know, he wants to teach this boy a lesson. And he does a pretty good job of making sure that he gets his point. And it's just like us when we're growing up. Sometimes God is just trying to teach us something. And we know when God is talking to us. We know when he's talking to us. Because it makes his point very clearly. So check out what's going on here. The party's over. He's hollered for his last dollar. And how is it when you walk into the bar with a lot of green on you? a lot of frog skins, a lot of Benjamins in your pocket. Everyone is your instant cousin. Everyone knows you. Everyone loves you. In fact, you didn't even know your family was that big. Everyone wants you to buy them a drink because you're the man. You're the man. But what happens to all those OPE friends when all the money runs out? When the dollars are all gone, they all begin to run. OPEs to the max. They only want you for your money, for your bucks, for your credit card. They want you for what you can get for them. All the takers, the greedy ones, they lie, they cheat, they scrap for your dollars. But now that it's all gone, all piled, no one is around. So that's what's going on with our young man here who's gone off to a far land. And he's spent everything he's had. Brother boy ran out of everything. But God is so funny because God puts a famine upon the land. So he can't even go out and steal mangoes or avocados. He can't get nothing. He's down to zero. He's down to boss. He is all boss. So then he has to go to work to get some food, to earn a living. And he finds work with someone in the country who pays him to go feed the pigs. Whoa, big time out here. What's wrong with the Jewish boy feeding the pigs? What's wrong with the Jewish boy hanging out with the pigs? Think about this now. This young Jewish boy is going to be taking care of the meat of the swine, meat that is unclean. But he had to do this because he had to earn some food. He had to get something to eat. He was busted broke. He had allahs for dollars. He had nothing. The boy was all bust. But check out how bad it gets. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him in his fields to feed swine. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, see, he came to himself. He had gotten to a point where he was in the bottom of the bucket. There was no lower place to go. It's like, you know, after a big night party, and you end up looking in the mirror and say, oh, what happened? But look, he's in a situation where he spent everything he had. There was no one to call because he had left the family on not too good of terms. He was in a foreign place, so there weren't any friends, no real friends, because all the friends that he had were probably the Opihi friends that only knew him for what he had and didn't know him for who he was. But so he had to do something. So now the only thing he could do was something that went totally against his existence and the core of his being. He had to go take care of the pigs. But this guy, this brother, is so down in the dumps. He's so low and no can go. He's over there looking at the pig food. He's looking at the pig slop. This is the one the trucks go down to the hotels and pick up all the extra leftover scraps, put them in the big 55-gallon drums in the back of the truck. And, you know, having worked in Waikiki for many years, it doesn't smell too good. In fact, I got to forget about all that stuff when I order roast pork at the Chinese restaurant. But anyway, because that's a good thing. Delicious. But, you know, see, so he's over here looking at the food in the pig slop. They call it the pods. Running through his mind, he's probably saying, "Oh, if I had some ketchup, some Tabasco, I could whack this baby right now." But that's how low he has fallen. That's how far he has fallen. But it's at that point when you get to the very bottom of the barrel. I mean, you cannot scrape this barrel. There's nothing to scrape. You're hitting wood already. You're getting splinters. You're in the bottom of the barrel. And it says he came to himself. In the Jesus book, I like to use that phrase. Then he wise up and think, "Hey, how come?" Then he wise up and think, "Hey, how come?" See, because it's right at that point. It's right at that critical juncture. It's right where the rubber hits the road and the metal hits the pedal. It's right there where he realized that what he had done was foolish. What he realizes is that it was an embarrassing to his father, to his family. Here he is taking care of the pigs, and he's looking at the pods or the slop, the same thing that you get from the hotels, like I said earlier, and it's like rubbish, and it's smelly. And he's saying, I could probably eat some of that. But he had to come to his senses. You see, he had gone from having a pretty good life. You know, he was taking care of the herding for his dad. So if they had things that they needed to be shepherds for, that at that time in history, they're pretty well-to-do family. And he and his older brother, that's all they had to do, is to take care of the flock. But you see, the boy got bored. The boy got antsy. Because, you know, sometimes when you do what you're supposed to do, it gets to be really boring for that person. Not knowing it's okay to be bored. It's okay to have a routine. It's okay to have a regular job. It's okay to go to work every day. It's okay to come home and take care of the kids. It's okay to have food on the table at night. It's okay to go to church every Sunday. See, that's a routine. It's okay to go to a Bible study 3 times a week. It's okay to serve in the community. It's okay to help those that are less fortunate. It's okay to bring people into the kingdom. Because you see, when you have a routine, when you have a regular schedule, there is order, there is structure, there is a continuity in your life. When you're running all amok, when you're running all buckle loose, when you're running crazy to the wind, there is no structure. It's pure anarchy. It's pure chaos. That is the devil's playground. But you see, what he realized here is he had been on this side of the fence. Now he's on this side of the fence. But you see, what he wanted more, what he wanted more than anything else was when he came to his senses, when he came to his senses, he realized what he really wanted, he already had. You see, he wanted more, but he had all he needed before. But he had desires, he had dreams, he coveted, he wanted more than what he had. And his dad gave him everything that he wanted. See, that's the father's love right there. The boy asked for the share of his inheritance, and the dad gave it to him. I'm not sure if I could do that. But you see, he had everything he needed to be happy. He had friends, he had money, he had possessions. He had everything. But then all of a sudden, he goes from having everything to having nothing. How did he come to the very bottom of this pit, wanting to eat that pig slop? The same thing that he's feeding the pigs. How did he come to sleeping with the pigs, eating with the pigs? He came to the bottom of this pit. It couldn't get much lower. It can't get much lower than that. I mean, you're going to try and eat with the pigs? Then he wise up and think, hey, how come? The beauty of this story, my beloved, where are you in this story? Are you the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter? Have you got to a point in your life where it's the bottom of the barrel? It's the bottom of the pit? Have you come to a point in your life, my beloved, where you really are sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you at a place where you feel locked up? You feel locked in behind those bars? You're tired of having someone tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it? Is that where you are? Is that where you are, my brothers and sisters? Have you come to your senses? Then he wise up and think, hey, how come? My beloved, my prayer is that you've come to a point where you've bottomed out. My prayer is that instead of giving up, that you will begin to look up. That's where you get your strength. That's where you get your answers. See, sometimes the Lord takes away everything that we have, or he'll let us do everything that we can to destroy our lives before he gives us life. You see, my beloved, God loved you so much. He took you out of what you were doing and put you in a place where he could talk to you. He took you out of doing all the crime that you were doing, and he put you in a place where you can focus on him. But it's all about choice, your choice of what you want to do while you are there. The next years are your best years. I believe in that, as Pastor Scott Sonoda says. But you see, in this situation, what you have to remember, then he went wise up and think, hey, how come? My brothers and my sisters, if you have not come to that point where you're questioning the very core of your existence and what you're doing locked up, then you haven't gotten to the point where the prodigal son is. But you'll get there. The Lord's going to break you. The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants to cover you. The Lord wants to anoint you. But he will not do that until he can break you. You can't ask God to take over your life without having a makeover in your life. That's not how it happens. If you want the Lord to take over your life, he's going to make you over. He's going to take out those areas that need some help. He's going to take out those areas, that anger, that frustration, that bitterness, that unforgiveness in your heart. He's going to work on you, and it's going to take some time. But the rewards are so wonderful to live a blessed life. You see, this is what happened with the prodigal son. He thought he knew what he was doing. He thought he had a plan. He thought he knew where he was going. He thought he knew everything he needed to know. And when you look at it at the end, He came right back to where he was. He came back to his family, came back to his father, came back to his brother. He came back to where he started from. But what was different now? He had a better appreciation of what he had. My beloved, sometimes we have to lose everything to appreciate anything. It's not until you get to the end of your resources that you know who your source is. You have to realize that the Lord wants to bless you. He's just waiting to bless you. You have to know that the Lord is your rock, your fortress, and your savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. We're going to continue on Monday night with more of this from the prodigal son. Continue with your identity. Know who you are. But Lord, I just pray for those that are listening tonight. Lord, hold them close. I pray for a healing touch over all of them. But most of all, Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and grace that we've had a breath of life today, that we've had a breath to share in your word today, Father God. Protect all those that are listening. May they have a restful evening. May they have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Inhabit them. May they realize that you are our Lord and Savior. You are Yahweh, the great I am. Until tomorrow night on Monday, bless all of you and have a wonderful evening, resting in the Lord.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.